Father, we give you praise. We give you glory. In Jesus' precious name. This morning, I want to do a brief teaching. And after 30 to 40 minutes, we will jump. Is that okay? We are considering the subject of dominion. I pray you listen and apply the things I want to share. Sometimes when I come for a meeting like this, I try to find out if the people are ready to receive the subject or the theme of their meeting. Not in any way to undermine them. But the reason is because our generation likes big things. But we are not willing to pay the price to walk in it. So some of the things that even the fathers dread, they are the things we play with. Because to us, it's just about oratory. It's just about excitement. So when we consider the subject of dominion, I know we are migrating from the realm of men to participate in the league of spirits. Because there is no way you can discuss dominion without understanding the stake that spirits hold over the visible realm. There is no way you can consider the subject of dominion without considering the rigid requirements of alignment. Because you can't walk with a spirit except you understand the protocols of alignment. And most times, the subject of alignment has to do with covenants. It has to do with altars. It has to do with sacrifices. And when young people who are very distracted, who are not even focused on any issue, begin to consider subjects that have their roots and foundation in covenants, on altars, and in sacrifices, you begin to wonder where you start talking from. But we love oratory and we love eloquence. So this morning, my first prayer is for us to understand the gravity of the subject and also to receive grace to keep the rigid requirements of this subject. And the truth is, without dominion, we will not be relevant in this generation. No matter how loud we talk, no matter the number that gathers, or no matter the activities, a generation that understands dominion and has stature is more relevant to the Spirit of God than a numerical generation that does not have understanding of the requirements of dominion. God preferred to have one man of stature in the territory than a million babes in that territory, as touching matters of kingdom, government, and dominion. So this morning, my prayer is not for you to be excited. It's for you to understand the requirements of the subject that we want to consider and to apply your life to it rigidly. Most of you will come into the reality of what we'll share in this meeting 5 years from now. I'm telling you, 5 years from now. Because until you begin to pay heed to the things you must do, you will never walk in dominion. You will only hear about it. You will never walk in it. Because dominion is government. Dominion is rulership. It's not for babes. He said the heir, so long as he's a child, is not different from a servant, even though he's the Lord of all. And if you don't have dominion, your business will suffer. Your family will suffer. Your ministry will suffer. The only thing that makes what you do work is the authority that you wield, and it's in the realm of the spirit. Are we together? So you reign, you ancient Zion's king, Kadosh, Kadosh, you are mighty on your throne. Don't worry. You reign, Kadosh,
You are mighty on your throne. Break forth, O fountains of the deep. Cry out, Kadosh. You are mighty on your throne. You reign, you reign, you reign, you reign, Kadosh. You are mighty on your throne. Alleluia. 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 Manda fraha la chiso salamande le chisa. Verra da Londra farina satacave. Salina mantrachido sazak. Mandarada coriana taliga fande sesesali. Shibarago satakira. Radiana talega bondre tiga sadak. Mantekezoso fradadadina. Mantaliga patekizo salamande. Erianda savra cade la mandre kido. Barakada gazida bonda la gavana. Rakata patida sanzaliata. Alila bande kezo zombere de gila. Mantekezodo paragadi. Mantezizi salandre paradoja. Rakiba takaba. Rakaena tolevandele gizo. Mantekida savaranira tavale. Alea e a Alea e a Alea e a Alea e a
Just keep playing. Brothers and sisters, please pardon me. It's not pride, it's not arrogance. If I don't ascend, I can't preach. I'm not a teacher. What I came to tell you is in my spirit, it's not in my head. I need to go beyond the notes. So when they dwarf me, it becomes a challenge. It's a challenge. It's a challenge. You can't download wisdom. You can't tap into ancient scrolls unless you are ascended. When you are ascended, even the words you speak, they are given to you. There is a mountain where the testimonies of God are open to mortals. The oracles of God, they are kept. God himself hides them in his bosom. When you follow the protocol, then he opens the oracles to you. That's when you talk like a god. We don't talk because we read. We talk because we tap into frequencies in the spirit. And what God is streaming per time, he discloses it to us. This is why our words carry power. It's not because we are powerful in ourselves. It's because there is a dimension in the spirit that flows per time. And when a man can align with those frequencies, he can stream into it. I wish we begin to have conferences for keyboardists and singers. They think it's skill. It's not skill. The people in the world are very skillful. They studied it in Juilliard. When you come, your goal is the movements of the spirit. You are finding out when the waters will be stirred. You are looking for when the mulberry trees will move. And then you file it. So that your angelic partner will begin to guide your fingers. They come for meetings. They don't fast. They don't pray. They just throw and sit down. They don't even find out who is coming to preach and look for a way to align with the spirit. Because they don't know it's a ministration. It's a difficult thing to represent a spirit. And if we are considering dominion, we must know these things. Else, we will start churches, start ministries, and all we will have will be many churches. But there will be no power in the territory. All we will have will be titles. There will be no power. Because nobody can find the spirit, the alignment of the spirit. Before you minister in Calabar, there are territorial spirits here that bound the souls of men. You must ascend above their influence to be able to bring government to the people in the territory.
Don't mind me, I'm trying to align with you. When we ascend, we can do so much in 10 minutes. So you just be praying. In Genesis chapter 1 verse 28, it said, and God blessed them, and he said to them, be fruitful, multiply, subdue, replenish, and have dominion. So dominion was given to man as his token from God. In Genesis 1:26, it said, let us make man in our own image, after our likeness. And in the image of God, he made man. Male and female, he made them both. So man is not a male. Man is not a female. Man is both male and female. You know, when we say man, we assume that it's the male gender. The first blueprint of man is called a species that carries the image of God. So any species that carries the image of God that is trapped in a body is a man. And the token that God gave to that species is the power to rule in the visible realm. So two things happen. If you don't carry the image of God in this vessel, then you are not a man. You may be breathing, you may be talking, and you may be shouting. But the proof that you are a man is that when we look upon you, what reflects from your life is the likeness of God and the image of God. And the second proof that you are a man is not that you are tall and fair. The second proof that you are a man is that you have power to create change. So men were not designed to struggle with earth. Men were not designed to struggle with creation. This is why hardship reduces the quality of a man. Because the glory of a man is revealed when he sustains capacity to exercise dominion. So a man who is in the altar of God have no business failing exam. The moment he begins to fail exam, it means he is falling from the realm of dominion. A man has no business struggling in business. The moment he begins to struggle in business, it means he is no longer consistent with the blueprint of Abba. A man has no reason to struggle in ministry. The moment he begins to struggle, it means something is wrong from the foundations. So he has to come back to the studio of eternity and find out what is wrong with this setting that is making it impossible for me to exercise dominion. We don't struggle to exercise dominion. It's our way of life. The way we breathe, that's how we exercise dominion. So if you go to school, passing an exam is not a testimony. That is how, it's just like breathing. If you breathe, you testify. Jesus sent 70 men out. And they went, they said, demons were subject to us. And he said, rejoice not that demons are subject to you. You are a creature of dominion. The reason you should rejoice is that you have a stake in Zion. The testimony is not that you conquered. The testimony is not that you won. The testimony is not that you rule. Ruling and conquering is a byproduct of your existence. But you see, because we are falling from dominion, the things that should be natural to us are the things we glamour about. So if I pray here now and a deaf ear opens, suddenly I start feeling like an apostle. It's not the opening of the deaf ear that made me a minister. As a believer, I should open deaf ears. If I come here now and the blind eyes open, suddenly I'll start feeling like a champion. It's not the opening of the blind eye. It's natural. When the church steps into dominion, We can be doing what we are doing and somebody has a challenge. The demon is screaming there. The pastor doesn't need to start shouting from the altar, "Get out." The usher standing by can just throw and say, "Keep quiet. You are distracting the service." And it's not a testimony. This is the subject we want to consider. Not that demon is screaming and then they bring him out. "What is your name? Where are you from?" And waste the whole service. Where we should equip men, we stop the service and allow demons to do shows on the altar. And the demon can take 1 hour from the service. It's a waste of time. When we waste time with demons, it's because we don't know dominion. In fact, attention should not be paid to them. Take them to the back. Let an usher handle that. We are talking serious kingdom matters. We are opening the secrets and the oracles of God. We are empowering men for assignments that are eternal. Who is this demon to break into our service? Imagine if you are having a family meeting and then your neighbor comes and says, "Open the door, open the door." And then you stop the family meeting. And then for 30 minutes you are attending to the stranger that came. And then when the stranger finished, you say, "Let's clap for ourselves." This is what we do most times in church. Service is going on, God is talking, and the demon truncates the service. And then we stop the service for 30 minutes and we are dealing with them. It's a waste of time. Everybody should be able to cast out demons. Everybody should be able to heal the sick. Everybody should be able to succeed in whatever they lay their hands to. They say, "Whatsoever you do it, you shall prosper." Is the verdict of dominion. But most times, in 10 aspects of our life, it's only one that is working. And then we are running around with that one. No. They say, "Whatsoever he doeth." It's an error if 50% of your life is working. Every aspect should work. Your family should work. Your business should work. In fact, if it's not working, you should be surprised. But in our own case, because we don't understand dominion, when it starts working, that's when we are shocked. It's to show you the level to which we are falling. When it doesn't work, that's when we should be surprised. But we are in a generation when it's working, that's when we are surprised. If one dominion feat is carried out in the service, the whole church goes agog. The whole church. Meanwhile, in the early church, they were so busy with prayer and the ministry of the word that they didn't want to distract themselves with healing the sick. So they arranged them on the street. When they are coming out of service, anyone that their shadow fall on is healed. It's not part of the miracle service. They went to interact with God. They went for intimacy. They went for intercourse. When they finish what they are doing, then they come, and as they are strolling on the sick are being healed and they go home. These were men that understood dominion. Why is dominion so far from us? Why does it look as if it's alien to us? Why does it look as if only few superstars can carry out certain feats in the body of Christ? Because only few men are paying attention to the requirements of dominion. Every other person comes to receive. They don't come to learn how to rule. So it looks as if it's only the apostle that does certain things. It's only the prophet that does certain things. It's only the pastor, the evangelist, and teacher. It has even become so bad that nowadays, even the apostles and prophets and evangelists can't even exercise dominion. So they either fake it or they go to such diabolical powers to do what they should do naturally. Imagine if you are faking breathing. That you want to breathe, then you have to fake breathing. Breathing that should come natural to you, you are now faking breathing. Or you need to consult a native doctor to empower you to breathe. It either means you are very sick or you are dying. But that's the state of many people. The moment you realize who you are and pay attention to the laws of dominion, it will become natural to you like you are breathing. The Bible said many things did Jesus that were not recorded. It said if they were recorded, there is no volume of books in the world that would have contained it. So they decided to just gather a few things to make you believe. If they told you what Jesus did, the miracles themselves, thank you very much, will become a distraction. Because they say all the volumes of the book in the world will not be able to contain it. So Jesus wakes up carrying out miracles from morning till night. It was too natural with him.
too natural that they couldn't chronicle it. So they picked a few just to make you believe that he's the Christ. If they were to write the things he did, not what he preached. So the doings of Jesus were more than the preachings of Jesus. Jesus did more than he spoke. So they had to gather what he said and avoided what he did, so that what he did will not become a distraction. But in our generation, what we do are so scanty that most times we come and we litter everywhere we're talking because we don't know dominion. The things I want to share with you, it will task you. So I want to let you know what you will gain before you begin. Because in dominion, you don't lose. You see Christians in school, they are having to sleep with lecturers to pass exams. Because they don't know dominion. The Bible said the king had a dream. And he woke up in the morning. He needed an interpretation to the dream. He wouldn't even as much as tell them the dream. And Daniel said, wait. There is a God that revealed secrets. And Daniel will go home and come back from home and tell the king the dream he dreamt. And he will tell the king what the dream means. So you can, from your house, travel into the dream of your king. These were the realms this man walked in. And I know what I'm telling you by experience. I'm not telling you what I read in a book. When I was in school, I won't tell you what I did because you will kill yourself. But when I carry my book, I know where the questions come from. Most times I summarize, I take a textbook of 300 pages. I open. I know exactly where the lecturer will choose the question from. And then I summarize it. Students come to school to collect my summary. On exam day, go to where they photocopy. My handwriting is everywhere. They photocopy the summary. They dump their textbook and read the summary. And when they go into the exam hall, 4 out of 6 questions come from there. I was very busy in school that most courses, it is on the exam day I open it. Yet I graduated with a 4 point. So I know what I'm telling you. It's not story. There is a realm of dominion you will enter that you will literally tap into the mind of your supervisor. So before he comes to tell you what he wants to tell you, you know where he's coming from. There's a realm of dominion. When I stepped into ministry, they say, for you to succeed in ministry, you must be of 5 generation. I say 5 generation. My own father didn't speak in tongues. Does that mean it is my great-grandchildren that will succeed in ministry? No, I won't allow the warfare for them. This man is a warrior. Whatever it takes for 5 generations, 1 generation can do it. And the way to do it is to forget about your earthly genealogy and connect to your spiritual genealogy. So my father may not be a preacher, but I know I am of the order of Enoch. So if I can connect to him in the spirit, I will tap into a genealogy that is older than my ancestors. I don't need to have a 5-generation preachers to be able to succeed in ministry. You enter into business, they tell you people don't prosper in Calabar. What do you mean by that? I don't know what you are saying. You are telling me story among men. I live among spirits. And where I came from, they don't know failure. We don't know how failure works. Because the Bible told us that there was darkness, deep darkness upon the earth. And God said, let there be light. Because when a God wants to walk, he doesn't need to labor, he talks. When a God is talking, he's walking. What do we do by 20 days of walk? A God will talk in one day, all of it will happen. So I sit in my room on my prayer table and I'm determining what I will do in a year. So I change my future from my prayer table. The other time I was praying and I leaped on an eagle. And the eagle was soaring around the country. And when I came out, God told me, this is how we go around the nation. So I traveled around the nation before I began to travel in the natural. So now when I look at a territory and I don't want to go there yet, I say, wait. As I'm talking to you today, I'm supposed to have another meeting in Calabar today with the Presbyterian student. In Calabar, in one weekend, there are 52 weeks in a year. Every weekend, I can have as much as 5 meetings. Because in the place of prayer, I leaped on an eagle. So every territory opens to you naturally. Anything you want to do works. It's called dominion. But there are laws that make it happen. When you understand these laws, the last exam you failed will be the last you will fail. The last thing you struggled with will be the last you will struggle with. I can open scriptures for you from Genesis to Revelation. You will see that this kingdom will not fail. And you will also notice that if you are not a champion, you will not qualify for your story to be read. Because only those who excel were recorded. So this Christianity of failure in the morning, failure in the evening, failure with spiritual things, failure with natural things, is not Christianity. Because the ingredient of dominion is not there. You see people call themselves bishops. And program is happening. One man of God who is working in dominion comes. And they have a section for bishops. And then you see 35 bishops in one city. Struggling for who will sit in front. Struggling for who will sit in front. When one pastor came from another city, gathered the whole city together. If you come there and you turn, and there are 30 of you, the first thing you should do is to remove the collar. If one man can come and gather the whole city, and 30 of us have been in this city, it means there is something wrong. You come for a meeting, people are struggling to sit in front. Who are you? They say, I'm Apostle this, I'm Apostle that. And then you have a section full of apostles. There are 27 apostles in one meeting. Meanwhile, in the early church, there were only 12. And they took the whole city. How come there are 27 apostles in one city? And all we struggle for is who we sit in front in a meeting in one auditorium. And sometimes the auditorium can't even seat 500 people. And there are 5 apostles struggling to seat, 25 apostles struggling to seat in one auditorium. There are 25 apostles struggling to preach on one pulpit. Meanwhile, the city is so large that there are many places that are not yet inhabited. Because we don't understand dominion. People are in church, they are doing politics. Who they will post to the city. When they post you to the village, you say they hate you. Because you want to go to the city where life is easy. We don't go where life is easy. We create ease in life. So when they send you to the village, that's an opportunity for you. In recent times, I told myself, I'll stop attending city conferences. Because when you come for conferences in cities, you hardly see cripples. You hardly see sick people. Everybody is packaged with suit, with expensive perfume, coming to sit down like an elite. When you go to the village, don't say miracle service. Because if you say miracle service, you will see people, over 100 people with clutches. That's when you will put your faith to work. That's where you will exercise dominion. When you come to a city, everybody is looking for you to talk wisdom. And that's why all of us have become philosophers. No power to reveal the kingdom of God. It's a shame. It's a shame. The direction the world is going. Yet we are priding ourselves as Christians, opening new churches and new fellowship, and there is no impact. The man who is starting a church is asking you, sir, how do I do this? He doesn't even have direction in life yet. He wants to start another church, add to the number, and gather people and confuse their destiny. If we need dominion, it's now. And I want to show you just 4 laws of dominion this morning. 4 laws. If you can practice one and master it, watch your life in the next 3 years. Watch your life. You will be amazed. You will be so amazed. The kind of things that will follow you everywhere you go. You will be overwhelmed. What God will make of you, you will become so afraid that, can this be sustained? The speed will be so much. The influence will be so much. The blessings will be so much that you will be wondering, how is this possible? Because you can be in the world, not know. if you walk in dominion. The guys were walking in the wilderness at night. The Bible said the glory of God was moving before them as fire. So the cold that kills in the wilderness, they didn't feel it. And in the wilderness, they were not struggling with direction. They were led. He said he led them through the wilderness. In the daytime, the glory of God comes as a pillar of smoke and shields them from the sun. So they were in the wilderness, they didn't feel it. The Bible said their shoes did not weary. Their shoes did not wear away. They wore shoes and they were walking for 40 years. The shoe was growing with their legs and the shoe will not weary out. He said he sent his word and healed them in the wilderness where you should be sick every day. They didn't have one doctor. The word of the Lord was traveling with them, healing all that were oppressed. He sent his word and his word healed them. He said there was none feeble among them. In the wilderness, nobody was feeble. Meanwhile, we were lying down in air-conditioned room and bed. Yet, every day we are on paracetamol. Because we don't know dominion. The things that should trouble us are not the things we pay attention to. And even when people come for conferences, they are looking for bread and wine. When they can become bakeries that make bread. Everybody wants impartation. Impartation that will rest on you for 2 weeks and lift. Because you can't manage the consecration of that impartation. It's what you are looking for. Instead of growing to a point where even if they put you in the wilderness, you will touch the sky from there. Tell somebody I must walk in dominion. I'm tired of religious Christianity. You are talking about power, yet when there is need to manifest power, power becomes a story. You are talking about Jesus, when there is a need to prove Jesus, Jesus becomes a story. We teach every subject, but when it comes to manifestation, it becomes a story. Meanwhile, the world is coming to look for the Jesus we are talking about, they can't find him. We end up with religion and activities. Religion and activities. You are young people. I told myself, I'm a young person. I will not deceive myself. I will never deceive myself. So I told myself, I will not even preach anything I've not experienced. Because it will be a deceived person deceiving other people. Jesus heals the sick. You pray for 1,000. Not one have been healed. And you say you are exercising faith. No, faith produces results. What is the first law of dominion? Before I begin, I'm seeing somebody from around this side of the auditorium. You were having encounters when you were young. Strange spiritual encounters. Hearing things that were happening, but you've lost it. Meanwhile, you are about to enter the prime of your life, the best season of your life, and you need those things that you lost. Because those things you lost is what you need now to step into the level of honor and influence God wants to give you. But now you can't find it. There is a verdict of mercy that is coming for that person. Don't be quiet. There's a verdict of mercy
that is coming on that person. There is an ancient mantle that will fall upon you now, like an apron, and it will activate what you have lost and give you even much more authority to walk in that reality. I'm talking to this person here now, but the thing is beginning to move over in the spirit. Father, that person that you have been activated to step into that ancient ordination, right now, I come as a witness. 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 Things that were lost in the spirit, by the impartation of mantles, I provoke them. Come alive! Somebody's eyes are opening. You are receiving your lenses back. You are a seer. But you lost it. Your lenses are coming back to you. As I'm talking now, that anointing will come upon you. Your lenses are returning to you. To begin to see and to know in the spirit. To see and to know. To see and to know. To see and to know. I release it upon you right now. To see and to know. To see and to know. To see and to know. Hey, hey. Is beginning to fit time to this place. Dominion. Please sit down. The first law of dominion is the law of the blessing. No man can walk in dominion unless a spirit breathes upon him. This is why even in darkness, somebody is vying for power. He goes to look for a spirit. Because among men, dominion is not a possibility without spiritual fraternity. If you see anybody doing anything mighty on the earth, a spirit has breathed upon him. That was how the realm was instituted. I read for you in Genesis 1:26. It said, "Let us make man in our image and our likeness." And in the image of him, he made man. So the man was made with the DNA of God. But so long as he's man, he can't have dominion without a blessing. The guy looked like God. He was created in the image of God, but he could not have dominion. So you can resemble God, you can be like God. If the blessing is not on your life, you will toil all night. You will not be blessed. He made man in his image, yet the man could not have dominion. No, when you are reading Genesis, you will make the mistake of assuming that everything is just happening concertedly. I don't have time to go into that yet. But things are not just happening as you think. When he said in the beginning, God created the heavens and the earth was void and darkness was upon the face of the deep, you think it's just consecutive occurrences. It's not so. The man was created in the image and in the likeness of God. But the man didn't have dominion. Because dominion is not predicated upon being like God alone. Until the blessing comes upon you. He said, and the Lord blessed them. Who was the Lord blessing? The Lord was blessing a mirror image of himself. Because the man God created, the raw material with which he was created was God himself. The Bible said God breathed upon him and he became a living soul. So it's like God took himself and hid it in dust and he called it man. So the man God was talking to was a reflection of God. It's just like cloning. You clone yourself. One is so powerful. The other looks alike, yet so vulnerable. So the man, even though he looked like God, was very vulnerable. This is why many believers are vulnerable. Because they are not walking in the blessing. Do they have eternal life? Yes. Do they have the image of God? Yes. But it takes more than image and in dominion. So God knew and he said, and God blessed them. It is in the premise of the blessing that he said, be fruitful, multiply, replenish, subdue, have dominion. So the blessing is what activates the power to rule. The power to rule is on your inside because you are born of God. But what activates that power is the blessing that comes upon you. So after God created the man and God himself attested that the man was in his image and in his likeness, he came quickly and said, be blessed. If you are not walking with the blessing, you will know everything but you won't prosper. Have you seen people before? They said, this is the problem. They say, wait. They analyze the whole problem very intelligently, yet they don't prosper. A friend of mine told me something. He was so intelligent that what the government wanted to do in his state, he was the one that designed the whole blueprint. In fact, they brought Chinese expatriates. They examined it. They said they've never seen this level of intelligence. Appreciated it. Took the blueprint. When time came for execution, they called him aside and said, we will get back to you. He brought the initiative. He created the blueprint. But when time came for execution, what did they tell him? We will get back to you. They went and looked for somebody else. He came and studied his blueprint and took over. If there is no blessing in your life, you will know. You will be excellent. You will be the man for the job. But you cannot be fruitful. You cannot be productive. Because the power to make fruitful It's not in the fact that you are a man. It's not in the fact that you are intelligent. It's not in the fact that you are even in the right place and in the right time. A friend of mine vied and applied for Navy. They finished the whole thing. He passed the whole exam. He was the best. Until when they came to for their ceremony, they had to appear before the rednecks. And when they came into the room, everybody came, they just decorated them, gave them their cap and saluted. When the guy showed up, all of a sudden from nowhere, one of the generals said, "Who is standing for you? How come they didn't ask others the question? Is it written on his own face? Pass the test, best in field training, best in academic work." But when he entered the office, one of the generals, "Who is standing for, by the way, who is standing for you?" He said, "He doesn't have anybody." "What? How did you come here?" "Give him 20,000, go home." You think by reading the book and passing the exam, you will just become great. That's why many foolish people, they go to sleep with lecturers to pass exam. Success is not in school. School is a preparatory ground. Success is outside of school. So they work against the blessing while they are in school. When they come to town, they have graduated with the results, but they are now working for 10 years, they have no job. Because it takes the blessing for your certificate to be picked. How did you get here? When they said, "Give him 20,000, the guy said, "No, that he passed, he was the best." When they said best, they called somebody, they flogged him out of the place. This is not fairy tale, this is real. Everybody entered, they didn't ask them, who are you standing for? The moment they came, who brought you here? Why did the question came during his time? Because the blessings was not there. Meanwhile, here you find a blessed man going for an interview. He didn't even prepare. And then suddenly, while he was going for the interview, what the taxi driver was telling him, he now entered the interview hall. And the question they asked him was what the taxi driver was saying. Did the taxi driver go to school? No. But the word was put in his mouth. And then he answers the question, and when he steps out, every other person comes and fails. It is the blessing. The blessing will manipulate everything your life needs into your life at the right time. This is why the patriarchs, no matter how wealthy they are, they don't leave this world until they bestow blessings on their children. He said when Abraham was old, he laid hands on Isaac. When Isaac was old, he laid hands on Jacob. Be fruitful. You are blessed with the dew of heaven. Your enemy shall serve you. He wasn't writing a document. He was releasing spiritual energy. Because the blessing is what makes the difference. They can give you 1,000 cattle. It will finish with time. They can give you 1 billion naira. It will finish with time. There are such a things called palmer worm, caterpillar worm, canker worm that can eat off your resources. But when the blessings come, even if you dig a well and they collect it, leave. Go and dig another one. Even if you dig on a stone, water will come out. I've shared it before. Jacob dug a well. They collected the well from Jacob. He didn't fight. He left them and came to another place. He dug another well. The one they collected dried up. They pursued into the new well. They collected it. They left them. He went and dug another one. The one they collected dried up. And they now say, "No. We have come to understand that you are bigger than us." The same thing happened with Abraham. Same thing happened with Isaac. Same thing happened with Jacob. All of them were doing different things. But they carried one thing. The blessing. The blessing. While Isaac was an agriculturist, Jacob was a shepherd. What was the difference? It wasn't the type of job. It was the blessing. One can be a businessman, the other one can be a lecturer, the other one can be a politician. The ingredient all of you need to prosper is the blessing. It's not the type of business. A lot of people come into a city and they are finding out what is working. What is working is not the type of business, it's the spirit backing what is happening. You can see an architecture, or you say it's estate, real estate that is working. When you go into real estate, you will build 90 estates. And the moment you build it, government will say, "We want to use that place for irrigation." Have you not traveled? Go to cities.
you will see an estate, full estate, over 30 pieces built, and then they don't complete it. The next you see a red sign. Why? Government hijacks it. And then they keep it like that for 15 years. Even when they leave it later, nobody wants to live there again. Because there is a dark cloud that is now resting on that place. So you see 3 billion, and 3 billion vanishes. The blessing makes the difference. It makes you fruitful. It replenishes you. So while you are laboring, you are not sweating. You did a project yesterday, people thought this was the best. But there is something in the blessing called replenish. So you come and start another one as if you've never done anyone before. And the people are wondering, how come? You just finished this project, you say yes. And you are doing this one, you say no. We are already contemplating the next one. What is making it happen is the blessing. It's the blessing. They looked at you, they said, no, this one, he won't finish it. You are laughing. Before they know what is happening, you have started another project. And they say, how come? How are you doing it? It's the blessing. Because the blessing replenishes you. You are doing it, but your effort is not depleted. It's like Bluetooth. I can send one song to you. I'll send the same song to another person. I can send it to 1,000 person. My own won't deplete. It's called the replenishing power of the blessing. This is why one man can take a nation. Because inherent in him is not only fruitfulness. If you are only fruitful, a point will come when you will come to your zenith. But in addition to fruitfulness, you will replenish. So in fruitfulness, you are replenishing. In fruitfulness, you are able to produce. But you will produce until you come to a point where naturally you will stop producing. But not when you are replenishing. When you are replenishing, you will be producing. And every time you produce, you'll come back again. Do you know how men grow old? Men grow old actually because of fruitfulness. Because in the cells, there's what we call mitosis. The cells divide into two. So when the cells divide, the newer cell can never be as good as the old cell that divided. So when cell A produce B and C will be weaker than A. When B produces E and F, E and F will be weaker than B. And remember, B was weaker than A. So the more your cells are dividing, the older you become. So the old cells cannot be as good as the new cell. So you are being fruitful, yet you are growing old. But when you replenish, when A produce A and B, B and C will be identical with A. And sometimes even more powerful than A. Because B and C will become a hybrid of A. So replenishing is superior to fruitfulness. And it doesn't stop there. He said, subdue. So the new cells being produced understand a better strategy of winning than the old cells. So I built one house today. I don't just have the ability to build another house. The next house I built is better than the one I built before. And then I have a strategy of even building better than what I did the last time. It's called to be fruitful, to subdue, to replenish, to multiply, and to have dominion. This is why blessed men don't complain. Because they don't know how they are doing what they are doing. You are wondering, how is this possible? They don't know how they are doing what they are doing. All they know is that they just make impact. Have you gone to see a man who is blessed? Every day people come to his house, he's giving to them. And then you are wondering, oh boy, this money no go finish. You came 2 years ago, he was giving. 2 years later, you came, he was still giving. And the more he gives, the more he becomes bigger. Meanwhile, the poor man who is not blessed, the little he has, he hides it. He wants to eat small. And in eating small, he's reducing every day. But the blessed man who is giving, he said, the liberal soul shall be made fat. Him that watereth shall by himself be watered unto. The more he gives, the more he grows bigger. Is the blessing. There's a mechanism of the blessing. Now, the people of the world don't know this, so they despise it. And most times, gullible believers who don't know about the blessing, they also follow the world to despise it. You are in a different kingdom. Your advantage is the law of the kingdom that you follow. I just came in from Ghana. If I do what they do in Ghana, I will die here. Because what they do in Ghana prospers them who are in Ghana. So you can't be in the kingdom And then Obi Kubana is giving you idea on how to succeed. See, look at them. They are doing this thing. They don't have sense. We are not in the same kingdom. My children will not go and sit with me in club. My children will not see naked women dancing, and I call it prosperity. My life will not be characterized by vanity. So you don't learn from the world. You teach the world how to live. But you have your own laws that govern you. It's called the law of the blessing. When the people of the world are growing, they judge their value in the size of their bank account. But when a kingdom man is growing, through his life, many people are growing in God. And even if they leave this world, in eternity they will still be relevant. It's bigger than material things. How does the law of the blessing work? First, is by honor. What you don't honor, you can't receive from. This morning is a teaching series, so please pay attention. In 1 Samuel chapter 2 verse 30, it says, him that honors me, I will honor. But him that despises me shall be lightly esteemed. The reason things will work for you is a spiritual investment on your life called honor. People don't serve you, give to you, or submit to you because you are the best. They do it to you because there is something on your life they can't explain. They just want to honor you. It is God that puts it on a man. But the way a man walks into that dimension of the blessing is in the level of honor that he has for God. He said, him that honors me, I will honor. Him that despises me will be lightly esteemed. So one of the ways of walking in the blessing in this kingdom is to honor God and to honor authority. The reason our generation may not prosper is because we are a dishonoring generation. We feel we know it all. So the young man comes with his revelation that have not been proven, and he begins to attack fathers that represent different dimensions in God. And he thinks because he can speak faster and he thinks he has more mysteries, he will prosper. He won't prosper. Because spiritual authorities also represent the spirit that set them. So when you honor a spiritual authority, you are not honoring a man. You are honoring the spirit that put him there. So for the blessings of God to flow through your life, you must honor the Lord and honor the authorities that he has set in motion. In Hebrews 7:7, it says, without every contradiction, the less is blessed of the better. Most of us have come for this conference where we pray in tongues for 2 hours. We will sweat from our head to our shoe, but you can't even honor the president. When they are talking, you are doing your own thing. You will never have dominion. Never. Even if you know more, because you have disregarded authority. And you don't know that when you disregarded authority, you disregarded God. Some of you, because I came now, during the power service, when you see the power of God moving and things happening, you want to touch the man of God. You want to sow a seed to the man of God. You will think by touching the man of God, you will sow a seed. You are joking. I told people before that if it's just by merely touching. Now, touching transfers heritage. But if it's by mere touching, the wives of ministers would have been the most gifted and most anointed, because they touch them every day. And they touch them much more than any one of you will ever touch them. There is something called honor. When you honor a system, when you honor a structure, everything God allocates to that structure begins to flow in your life. So if you know you won't honor this structure, better don't be here. Because the structure itself will fight you. If you say you are part of this structure, what you have done is that you have brought all your possibilities under this structure. So if you don't discern the structure and honor it, you will be in the structure and you will diminish. This is why what should bless people is what kills them. It was Paul that was speaking in Acts of the 1 Corinthians chapter 11 verse 23 to 24. He said, for this cause many are sick. For this cause many die, not discerning the Lord's body. I thought the body of Christ is a family and a place of refuge. He said, because some people are part of the body of Christ, that's why they will die. Why would that happen? They not discern the Lord's body. So when a man doesn't honor structures and the Lord himself, he begins to deplete. He doesn't know why. He's doing so much, yet he's becoming small. But there's another person who understands honor. And in the course of understanding of honor, a little he's doing, God is multiplying it. I'm saying this to us because our generation, we are only moved by power. We are moved by mysteries. We are moved by lingo. We will go nowhere. You have to make up your mind and tell yourself, is this who they put ahead of me? Even if he's a stammerer, I will honor him. Even if he's not well educated, I will honor him. And as you start doing that, the Lord will shoot you up like an iroko tree. And you will wonder, how does this happen? It's a mystery in this kingdom. You don't even need a man to lay hands on you. You don't need God to talk from heaven. My son, Nathaniel, I have raised you today. No. If you understand honor, you file into the rank. And everything that flows from the top will flow to you where you are. There are many people that hands have never been laid on them. Yet they are great in this world. Meanwhile, there are many other people that the best of men have laid hands on them, but they've gone nowhere. What is the difference? It's honor. Many have locked doors against themselves by dishonor. Many have disqualified themselves by dishonor. And they don't know. They are praying, they are fasting, they are reading books, they are going from one conference to the other, but they carry dishonor in their heart. And everything that should rest upon them, dishonor will make sure it shifts from their head. You can hug them, remove your garment, put on their head, they will go nowhere. Because when the blessing shall come, the blessing will reject their head. Because a dishonorable man have disconnected from the circuit system of the spirit. The blessing works through the channel of honor. If you are not honoring God or honoring the authorities that God has set today, after a while you will see the difference. I have been here for a while, and I know it's not the most gifted that God raises. I've been here for a while, I know it's not the best that God raises. He said when Samuel saw Eliab, the man had a stature that commanded attention and glory, but God said, I've refused him. It's not the best that God raises. It's the one that honors God and honors the structures he set, that he puts the powers of the blessings upon. This is why many never go anywhere. How do you honor? You honor first by reverencing in your heart God and the people that he has set above you. It doesn't begin with an activity. You can be bending down, greeting somebody, yet dishonoring him in your heart. There must be a reverence. So when a leader is put ahead of you, you will be shocked that the reason you may never go anywhere is because of your president or your Bible study leader that you despise so much. Because you can't despise the Bible study leader and claim to honor the president. You can't dishonor the president and claim to honor the pastor. You can't dishonor the pastor and claim to honor God. There are authorities that God has set, including the governor of your state. The governor of your state is an authority. If they are wrong, you can state it. But you don't have power to come and start dishonoring and discrediting leadership that God set in motion. I'm telling you why you may be in Calabar and not prosper. It's not about church. It's a law of the spirit. If it is God that instituted that authority, if you fight it, the structure will fight you. We have many people on Facebook, on Instagram, on Twitter, insulting and violating authorities. Ha! The people that God raises are few. It's because they know these secrets. It doesn't sound bogus, but this is what makes men. Your leaders are not doing well. Pray for them. If there is something wrong, don't validate it. State it. But don't insult or dishonor in the process. You can say the truth the way it is without dishonoring. You want to walk in dominion? It's not just prayer and fasting. It's not impartation. It's not what you feel. They are governed by laws. How do you honor God and authorities? Number two is by giving. He said, honor the Lord with your substance and with the first fruit of thy increase. You can't claim to honor God and an authority and you don't commit your substance. Your substance is what provokes a blessing.
In Genesis 27 verse 3, he said, get unto me venison, that my soul will bless you. Hands can be laid on you. Prophetic decrees can be made on you, but you may not receive. Because when you give, it's an act of faith. It opens your heart to receive. You don't receive on your head, you receive on your heart. How do you honor? You honor through service. Respectful service. Some people, since they came for this conference, they've crossed their legs waiting for invitation. Meanwhile, there are certain people here that will serve to a point that they will even forget praying for them. After 1 year, those who serve will be blessed more than those who receive the invitation and run away with it. Many don't know it. When I went for an Abunkes meeting, we came from afar. And of course, we went, they called it passing on the torch. So obviously the man wanted to release impartation on Nigeria. We went to serve. But when we came, they had their organization and their structure. I came, they say, you are not an usher, you don't have a badge. I said, what is badge? I traveled on the road for 14 hours to come here. You are saying, which badge? They are parking benches from here, chairs from here. We begin to park. We are just watching. Since we are not part of the group, any instruction they give, this was in 2017, not long ago. We didn't go there as apostles and ministers of God. Are they parking chairs now? Thank God. All of us begin to park the chairs. We didn't even wait for somebody to say thank you. In fact, I slept on a field for 3 days. There was no time to go to the hotel. While we are rushing to stand on the first row, we are also rushing to serve. I left that conference in 2017. In 2018, I was all over the place. I didn't necessarily collect his handkerchief, but I forced my way into the blessing by serving. Because I know he needed somebody to carry the chairs and arrange it. And if he needed that to happen, if I do it, I've become an answered prayer to him. Many are too big to serve. In this kingdom, Jesus said, the greatest shall be the servant of all. If you don't serve, you don't honor. And if you don't honor, you don't qualify for the blessings. And if you don't walk in the blessing, you will not be fruitful. You will not multiply. You will not replenish. You will not subdue. You will not have dominion. Forget this hyper grace nonsense they are preaching. You are born again, so you are the blessed of God. That's true. But have you manifested it? You are born again, so you are healed. That's true. Have you manifested it? Close to 70% Christians are sick. Does that negate the fact that they are healed? No, they are actually healed. But walking in it has a definite protocol. Everybody born again is blessed. Is that true? Yes. But how do you walk in it? There's a definite protocol. If you start sharing 1,000 today, you'll be amazed the number of Christians that will queue up to show you that many are walking in lack. But they will not apply the laws that provokes deliverance. They keep doing what they have been doing for the past 10 years, and they think by doing it again and again, they will have results. God is not the God of evolution. He's the God of creation. So you don't get the result just because you are repetitively doing it. If it is wrong for 10 years, it will be wrong for 10 years. Time will not make it right. I told you from the beginning, dominion is not eloquent. Eloquence is laws. Most of us, we have to practice this for 2 years, for 3 years, for it to become a natural part of our lives. For the harvest to begin to manifest. The second law of the blessing is the law of humility and brokenness. I've showed you already, Hebrews 7:7. He said, without every contradiction, the less is blessed of the better. The moment you think you are big, you have disqualified yourself from the blessing. He said, when you were small in your own eyes, did I not make you king? There are many people, they were humble, sweeping the church, serving in their workplaces, they were serving. They didn't know why they were attracting favor. Until suddenly they are promoted and they became commanders.
Hey, get here. Oh, come on here. Do this.
And they command their way from the top to the bottom. He said, God resists the proud, but he giveth more grace to the humble. He was talking to believers, not unbelievers. So the person who is qualified for more blessing is the man who is broken. This is why, even though David sinned more than King Saul, and this is not endorsing sin, David was the one that walked continually in the blessing. Because when you tell David you have sinned, in the public he can tear his clothes. But Paul was so conscious, I'm a king. Even when Samuel wanted to rebuke him, he said, no, not the public, the people are watching. The people are watching. You violate God, you are conscious that the people are watching. Meanwhile, David doesn't care whether the people are watching. In the public, he rents his clothes, sits down, and pours ashes on his head. Every time God looks upon him, he is qualified for more blessing. David was the only man God blesses even when he's in error. The people are watching. Is it the people that made you king? God made you king. God made you a global figure. God made you a governor. God made you a ruler. Now you are conscious of the people. The people will walk you out of office. He said, a contrite heart and a broken spirit thou shall never despise. Psalm 51 verse 17. So David knew the secret, that the way to walk with this spirit and to command his blessings is always to be a child, to be a baby in his hands. Some of us have become so big that we can't even kneel down in church again. And I'm not saying you must religiously kneel down. But once upon a time, you could roll before the Lord. But now, you are the guest minister. So there's a way guest ministers stand. So when you come for the conference, you have to stand like a guest minister and look straight. And once in a while, you nod your head. You have been blessed. A day will come, you will leave the stadium and start preaching in mushrooms. The Bible said the 24 elders, day and night, they fell from their throne. They cast their crown. I don't care about my reputation. If it has to do with authority, I can strip at any time. That's a man qualified for the blessing. The Bible said he stripped himself of the garment of divinity. So God exalted him. If you have arrived, then your journey has ended. Because your journey actually ends when you arrive. Meanwhile, some people have arrived at the age of 23 as fellowship presidents. Some people have arrived as student union government president on campus. Meanwhile, there are different cadres: counselor, chairman, governor, senator, president. But they arrived as SUG secretary general. So their politics and their political career ends on campus. Have you not seen many SUG presidents? After 10 years, they are touts in the garage. Some people arrive as JCCF president. So on campus, they are papo. The moment they graduate, you see them later, 5 years later, you can't even recognize papo anymore because he arrived as a JCCF president. So his ministry finished on campus. Some arrive as NCCF papo. So their ministry finish in NYSE. When they finish NYSE, many years later, you see them, they say, oh boy, no easy. You know easy. They have finished their ministry. The day you arrive, that's the day you end. A contrite and a broken spirit, the Lord shall not despise. When you see men walking in dominion perpetually, this is the secret. Some of us, we are fellowship president. No matter how the praise and worship is going on, that's our own. Meanwhile, you are seeing Dr. Paul and Enche dancing like a baby. But you are fellowship president. I'm not saying copy him. I'm just talking about simplicity and humility that is now lacking in our generation. You see Bishop Oedeko dancing like a baby, but you are big because you have 20 people in the fellowship. You are walking like this during praise and worship. Even your local government, your ministry will not grow past it.
Even the ones who don't know how to dance, you see them laboring on the altar just to show you they have forgotten their reputation. You, it's only in your bedroom you dance. When you get to your bedroom, you do all the steps. But when you come to the public, you are a cherubim. So you come with a cherubim garment, and there's a way you walk. When everybody is standing, lifting their hands, worshiping God, you sit down like this. We are connecting to the spirit realm. Because the ranking princes, they are your colleagues. Both of you were talking that time when people were worshiping. You were talking with cherubims. You were picking the signals for the meeting. In the spirit realm, you are a clown. They are looking at you like a clown. You meet a man that you should honor. But both of you are guest minister in that conference. That both of you are guest minister in that conference does not mean you are equal. Because you want us to, hey, man of God, how are you doing? Yeah. And then you stand and snap. That's the last time you will function at that level. People you should honor. When you see them, you hustle to snap. And then you put on Facebook, I was with my brother. Many people, their fathers have become their brothers. To make a statement, you will only be on Facebook. We don't know power. See, the angels watch it. They say none shall break their ranks. If you break ranks in this kingdom, the kingdom will fight you down. Please sit down. It's a law of dominion. Don't mind me. I just sing once in a while so that I don't trouble you. High-minded people. All your ministry is on Facebook. You sit on one chair and you are premiering to 30 people. And then you are apostle. You're not coming to the territory, you say, those of us who are apostles in Calabar. You are not an apostle in Calabar. You are an apostle on a page on Facebook with 30 followers. All your ministrations are on the internet. Nobody on ground to minister to. Do you know what it means for a city to come to a man? You see a man taking the whole city. You say, we are colleagues. Even if you are older than him, kneel down. It's not age. We are talking reality in light. It's talking age. Who told you they know age in the spirit realm? Are you not aware that Aaron was older than Moses? I know you love mysteries. But take this to heart and practice it. If the devil wants to destroy you, he makes you conscious of yourself. But if you want power over princes, you must forget your reputation. The Bible says Jesus made himself of no reputation. Saul lost the throne because he was conscious of himself. David retained it because he was never conscious of himself. You have offended the Lord. He has torn his garment. He was dancing before the ark. Micaiah, who inherited his father's spirit. Micah told him, how can a king be dancing like this? And David asked, is it your father that made me king? The one that made me king knew me when I was a shepherd in the jungle. Until tomorrow, I won't appear before him as a king. I will still appear before him as a servant. The third law of the blessing is the law of uprightness and truth.
In Job chapter 1 verse 1, it said Job was a man that feared the Lord and eschewed evil, and he was the greatest of all the men from the east. He knew the secret. Every time a man violates the requirements of uprightness and truth, he becomes an enemy of God, because he is the spirit of truth. Today, we have become politicians, even on the altar. In a bid to create impression, we tell stories that never exist, exaggerate testimonies that never happen. At best, people in the auditorium will clap hand, but you have lost credit in the spirit. The same thing politicians do is what we now do on the altar. Why do you think many churches can no longer excel? The goal is now target, no longer truth. So pastors are lying. In my branch, we have 2,000 Sunday service. Meanwhile, that 2,000, maybe they had it once in an outreach. And now say our regular attendance is 2,000. Just to appear in headquarters that the church is doing well. He prays for the sick. One person is healed in a month. He said, in our meetings, people get healed all the time. Little exaggerations, lying here and there. And then he knows this one cannot be a prince. Because princes live by truth. Their words carry power. They are creatures of authority. So they know what they say is a law and is binding in the spirit. They know when they speak, they can create and they can destroy. So there is a realm God can't take you to if your tongue is a lying tongue. If your life is not consistent with your message. They come out and they talk everything that is right. But meet them when they are alone. You can't even as much as look at their phones. Because it's full of garbage. So what we do is stage managing. We tell people what they should do. She goes out on evangelism. She is well dressed. But meet her on campus the next day. She is half naked. So her life is a betrayal of herself. There is no truth in our life. So God can't confer authority and dominion on our lives. Because we will trade it for mundane things. The moment a man begins to lie and exaggerate, it means he's looking for another approver. Other than God. So if God gives him dominion, he will use that dominion and trade it for that approval he's looking for. That's why he said, do not give sacred things to swine. They will trample upon it and run back at you. They don't know the value. No matter how hard it is, tell the truth and suffer. Weeping endures for the night, but joy comes in the morning. Our light affliction are but for a moment. They work for us a far and exceeding weight of glory. It may not be working now. It doesn't mean it will never work. If you are 10, thank God for the 10 and trust him for 1,000. In his own time, you will even exceed 1,000. If you pray, only one person is healed. Thank him for the one who is healed and trust him for more. By all means, refuse the devil. Having a harvest in what you are doing. You are in politics, stay right. At least Daniel proved that through uprightness, one can rise in politics. They said they looked for allocation against Daniel, they found none. Daniel 6:10, except in his walk with his God. 3 times, the man prayed facing Jerusalem. His goal was God. When the Hebrew guys were arrested, they said, why didn't you bow? They said, we will not be careful to answer you in this matter. We honor you, but we will not in the bid to honor you dishonor God. We will not be careful to answer you in this matter. If it is that image, we will not bow. The reward was a fire that was burning 7 times hotter. I will rather embrace that fire than embrace the king's approval and bow to another God. We must stay upright. If you will fail your exam, fail. Come for an extra year, write it.
I'm not telling you that because you didn't cheat, God will give you a miracle. No. There is reward in labor. Come back, study and pass. But don't bow. Because that 1 year of compromise can become 10 years of failure in life. The Bible said they had an evil heart. And God said every 1 day will become 1 year. So 40 days became 40 years. And it was not even about the years. All of them perished in the wilderness. The whole of that generation perished. Don't trade your future with momentary gratification. If you need to go through fire for truth, go through it. I've lost many things because of truth, but I thank God I did. I was teaching in a secondary school in my wilderness days. Preaching to these students, baptizing them in the Holy Ghost. The proprietress knew. The day they were writing chemistry practicals, she expected me to carry the questions, solve it outside, and come and give the students answers. I said, I will never do that. I lost favor and left the school. But today, even those students, they now call me apostle and they follow me. Imagine if I followed them to cheat in that exam hall. Today, which message will I preach to those students? Apart from the blessings, how would those students see me? Hundreds and hundreds of our students. I would have taught them that anything, the power of God can move even when you are sinning. Because I come to the class, the power of God move, but I go and follow them to cheat. They would have seen Christianity as a lie. Because I wanted to have favor with proprietors that was paying me 22,000 naira in a month. Today, if I carry my phone now, in all humility, there's an alert there while I'm preaching here. Because of 22,000 that I was working for, just for proprietors to smile when I come to school. And there were many Christians, because she smiled at them, they solved questions and gave to students in the exam hall. Today they are nowhere. If you will lose the job, lose it. It's an honor to go hungry for the sake of the kingdom. It's a blessed are they that hunger, that suffer reproach and persecution for the sake of righteousness. He didn't say God will do a miracle. He said, but in that reproach, they are blessed that they are able to stand for God. The men you see walking in many, many blessings today, if you know what they went through, the same things you are going through as young people now. They had a time when they needed to change their exam figure. They had a time when they needed to manipulate their CV. They had a time when they had the opportunity to compromise. They said no. It looked as if their life was delayed for 3 years. But what God does for them today in 1 day is more than what they would do in 3 years. Those days I was in that school, earning 22,000 in a month. In 1 year, that was about 300,000. Today, in 1 weekend, I earn more than 500,000. What I was earning in a year is nothing compared to what I earn in a week today. If I won that woman's favor, I would have been in that school today. Joseph rejected Potiphar's wife. And what did he receive? 13 years of imprisonment. But when he came out after prison, the Bible said until the time that his word came, the word of the Lord tried him. It was not the senator that sent for him. It was not Potiphar that sent for him. He said the king sent for to lose him, even the ruler of the people, to bind his princes at his pleasure and to teach his senators wisdom. So Joseph was not in prison. Joseph was in a school of training senators. What you see as a momentary setback is actually promotion in disguise. Stand for the truth. Why did his brothers hate him? Because he brought an evil report against them to their father. All the evil they did, he told their father. And they hated him. They threw him into a pit, sold him for slavery. They thought they were selling him. Many years later, when Joseph interpreted it, he said, God, send me ahead of you to preserve a generation. If you will go for a pit for truth, go there. That's God's manipulation for taking you to your throne. And by the time you arrive at your throne, no man can take the glory. No man. Because you journeyed into the throne from a pit to a houseboy service to a prison, and then you appeared on the throne. Others may journey to the throne from Harvard University. But for you who is a kingdom man, sometimes you go to the throne from a pit. We are a generation of people that are used to compromise. It's so natural. So natural. The lady compromises and she leaves her boyfriend house straight for Sunday service. And she's on the altar singing, "I have a very big God." You think it's about voice. The pastor is coming for miracle service, yet he's chatting a lady. Dirty conversation. He comes and stands on the altar and begins to shout. And it is because people are shouting and even falling down, something is happening. We are a joke. That's why we don't have dominion. We may have churches. We may have people in attendance. Because even our generation is not looking for truth. So we may have a lot of people in attendance. But when you go to society, you will know we don't have dominion. Many will leave this meeting, and like the three Hebrew boys, they will tell the adversary, "I'm not careful to answer you in this matter." They may tell you, "You will go into a furnace, throw me there." Daniel was cast into the lion's den. His miracle came in the lion's den. You wouldn't have known that lions don't eat everybody, except as Daniel refused to compromise. You wouldn't have known that fire doesn't burn everybody, except as Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego refused to bow. You wouldn't have known that people can walk in the wilderness and eat manna from heaven, except as Israel rose up and cried to the Lord. The life of compromise is a deception of the devil to take your throne from your head, your crown from your head. You think you are making a headway, wait until after 10 years. Then you will know. Most of my friends who compromised many years ago, today I can pay them. And I had the opportunity of compromising. And the least thing we have is money. Influence in the spirit to change things in territories. Because we live, you choose the life of truth and uprightness. Forget that garbage that nobody can be righteous. It's a lie. You make up your mind and commit yourself to God, the Spirit of God will make it happen. Loss of dominion. The final law is the law of the fear of the Lord. These are the things that make men walk in the blessing, not impartation. Impartation is to activate something in you. But to walk in it, there is a consecration that must power it. Nobody walks in the blessing. See, the weight of a spiritual man is the weight of his consecration. I know this thing. See, I experimented a lot of things. Thank God I didn't die in the process. If I tell you the men that have imparted me, you will shout. But I realize impartation is a seed. It's your consecration that nurtures it to germinate into a tree. You can die with those seeds of impartation and be nothing. This is not a healing meeting. If I command sicknesses to go now, people will be healed. Now. They will even off the keyboard before I do it. If I want the power of God to begin to move now, I can change this service to a power service. But there are laws and consecration that powers it. We look for the easy way out. Somebody blew on you.
And then you say,
when they want to carry you up, you even refuse for some time. You are waiting for the breath to saturate you. And then when you are going home, you are walking like this. You now fall somewhere. You stand up. You fall again. And then you went home and laid on your bed and slept. When you now woke up, you say, now you are apostle. Why do we love deceiving ourselves so much? Why? You are deceiving yourself and you are enjoying it. What is wrong with our generation? We deceive ourselves. The guy is talking about prayer. Prayer, he's not praying. He's talking about purity, holiness. He's a fornicator. And he knows. In Deuteronomy 29:29, he said, the secret of the Lord is with them that fear him. He will show them his covenant. In this kingdom, we rule by secrets, not by common opinion or popular opinion. In human politics, those are it. In human politics, you can excel by popular opinion. So you come online because everybody is fighting church. You too fight church to become popular. That's human politics. Because somebody gave to the poor and everybody is praising him. You too, you go and buy one carton of Indomie. You give to a poor and put online. That's human politics. In the spirit, people don't rise by popular opinion. They rise by verdicts and legislation from the mouth of God. And the way to do it is to have access to divine secrets. There are men that know what to do. And they will lock the heavens in Calabar. If you like, go and do VG. When Elijah said there shall be no rain, there are 7,000 intercessors and remnants in Israel that time. God himself told 7,000 people that have not bowed to Baal. But the secret Elijah knows, those 7,000 don't know. So when Elijah locked the heavens, they were praying. But their prayers couldn't change it. You know, we come now and say, we are all born again. We are all equal. We are all equal. The experiences of your life should already tell you are deceiving yourself. Sir, we are not all equal. Everywhere I go, young people follow me like dust. I went for Oyo last month for a meeting because Dr. Paul Enenche was in the city. Our meeting became a family gathering. If you like, preach all the mysteries. They just want to see the man. Seeing him alone is equivalent. See, there are some men now, if they enter this auditorium, just seeing them alone will bless you more than 3 days' sermon. You just look at them. Most times, I travel to Lagos in the early 2000s. I travel to Lagos just to see Pastor Chris. I tell you the truth, I don't remember what he preaches when I come back. And I don't care what he preaches. I just came, when the man came out into the auditorium, Jesus Christ, we just begin to fall under the power. When we just see, we fall under the power. We don't even want to stand up. We have had an encounter. We just see Pastor Chris, for us, it's an encounter. The energy the man came with, the glory. We came back, all of us started wearing double-breasted suit with Sancho shoe, but sir, thank God, but his glory, his glory, his glory. He just comes and say, hello. Hey! When he say hello, the whole stadium, hey! We are, if the meeting end that time, we have all been blessed. Pastor Chris went to Ghana. Their national stadium is opposite their national theater. And then there's another big hall across. Their national stadium is opposite their Black Star Square, where they have their national events. And then they also have their national theater on the other side. When he came, the Black Star Square was packed. The stadium was packed. The National Theater was packed. All the Christ Embassy churches were packed. Can you imagine? He was in the Black Square. The stadium was packed. There were projectors. People fill the stadium to watch a projector. The moment the man came out, seven people rose from their wheelchairs. He had not said Jesus, nothing. As he just came out, the way he came, the energy of the spirit with which he walked into the auditorium. If you see them, you will think it's an angelic. You don't know what I'm telling you. As he's coming with three CC members with a white suit, as he walked, the seven people stood up from their wheelchair and began to walk. You think it's white suit? Go and buy 10. The fear of the Lord. He said, the secret of the Lord is with them that fear him. Psalm 25, verse 14. He will show them his covenants. Paul said, we are servants of God. 1 Corinthians 4, 1. Therefore, we are stewards of the mysteries of Christ. These men, they dread God. If God speaks, if God tells them to stop anything they are doing, they will stop it immediately. They don't need to ask when, why. They will stop first before they ask when, sir. Our generation, we are in church, we are chewing gum. Some people cross their leg, others are checking water. And then when we stand up, we say we will rule this world. Which world? The world of spirit. This world. Do you know the principalities that are in Calabar? Do you have an idea? You step out in the evening, you will come to some streets, over 100 girls are naked at the same time. You think, if Jesus loves you, you will go and say that. Do you know the powers that rule this land? Only the men can wield the powers of the ages to come. Dominion is not child's play. No. Meanwhile, all these things I've shared is under the law of the blessing. And I know seven laws of dominion that God has taught me. All this is just under the blessing. So even the blessing is not cheap. It's not cheap. We were deceived. The men who told you about the blessing, now you confess and have, before you understand their doctrine, go and read their stories. Because you don't know the doctrine of Paul until you understand the life of Paul. Because the doctrine and the life is one. The man who is saying confess and have it, when he was your age, he was literally sleeping on the mountain. Some of them fasted for 5 years straight. Some of them coughed blood. Some of them prayed in tongues 10 hours every day for 1 year. To understand the scripture they are reading, because you can quote it, but for them, every time that scripture comes, it's a door. So the scripture they are entering, you are quoting. Pastor Chris was meditating on how God anointed Jesus of Nazareth with the Holy Ghost power. And he was to go for a meeting. And when he was meditating on the scripture, 3 hours passed, he forgot. Everybody who came to, sir, the meeting time has come, was slain. When they were sad, it's time for the meeting. He had gone into eternity. So their boy, meeting passed. Meanwhile, you carry it and quote, how God anointed Jesus of Nazareth with the Holy Ghost and power. While you are saying it, the cripple remain cripple. The deaf remain deaf. The blind remain. Because for him, that scripture is a door. He has done something to enter that door. You are carrying it like and quoting it. You are in different worlds. They are laws. He said, as I was in the days of my youth, Job 29 verse 4, when the secrets of God was upon my tabernacle. He said, by light I walked through darkness. Now, that secret is still what he's talking to. He said, I planted my feet in butter in the days that the Lord was gracious unto me. When Job spoke, the Bible said his voice was like the rain. Every argument ends. But what is the secret? Job 1 verse 1. He feared the Lord and eschewed evil.
Our generation is a godless generation. We think we know God. Meanwhile, the day you thought you knew him, that's the day you missed him. Because even the 24 elders that have seen him for aeons, they still don't know him. That's why they still call him holy. Up to today, they've not been able to give God a name in heaven. They just say, holy, you are in your own category. You are in your own class. There's none like you. If we don't dread God, we can't walk in dominion. Dominion is not the ability to talk mysteries. It's the ability to wield mysteries. They're two different things. Bow your heads and pray. This morning I spoke to few people. Those of you that like utterance, mystery and power. In the evening I will talk to you. But the people who heard me this evening are those that are part of the army of God. Because what I'm saying, they know it. God has already begun to tell them about it. So if you didn't understand or the message is not for you, no problem. You know, when the Spirit speaks, people hear at different levels. So God has been talking through them. People are hearing at different levels. When God spoke to Jesus from heaven, some people said a thundering. Others said an angel spoke to him. But Jesus said, the Father has spoken to me. He said, now is the judgment of this world. Now is the prince of the cosmos cast out. And I, if I be lifted up, I will draw all men. So Jesus was receiving strategy. Others called it an angelic utterance. Others called it thunder. So people here at different levels. But like I told you, the idea behind this morning session is to take something and go and practice. That by all means you will enter. And blessed are thou if you are able to enter. You are able to enter. We have not started though. We are just in Kinder 1. The vastness of the spirit realm, the vastness. Do you know what God wants our generation to do? The level of darkness that is confronting our generation. A day will come when you can't go to the hospital. Because for you to go to the hospital, they must have to plant things in your body. And you don't want that. So you must journey with God to a point where you know how to command your body and say, don't be sick. And your body will hear you. That's the kind of Christianity we must practice. I went to Ghana the day I landed Ghana. I took ill. My temperature was burning like fire. Me who came for conference, I will now come and start telling them to take me to the hospital. I laid down, I said, what is this? My head was aching, my temperature was rising. I know it's a waste of time talking to God about it. Because Jesus himself has told us, tell this mountain. He said, tell me. So I know if I start talking to God, I'm just wasting my time. I have to face my body. I went into the room and said, you better behave yourself. I don't know who I will tell now to start taking me to the hospital. Then they will now hear that the apostle. Do you know how many sick people came for the meeting? Then they now heard that the apostle who came is in the hospital, in the sick bed. Hey, I better behave yourself. I ministered back to back from Wednesday last week till day before yesterday. And I came to preach to you. A day will come when for you to be treated in the hospital, they have to plant a chip either on your forehead or on your hand. So it's either you take a chip and be healed, or you die of sickness, or you are able to get your body to live above sickness. So the Christianity is not an emotional Christianity. A day will come when for you to travel anywhere, you either show a passport that proves that you have been implanted with something, or you may have to bilocate to that place. This is why many people will fall. The Bible called it the great falling away. They won't fall away because they hate Jesus. They will fall away because they can't survive in that world unless they submit to the Antichrist. So he called it the great falling away. Many people who call themselves believers today, if they don't enter this reality, they will fall away. Do you know how terrible it will be if your child is dying of asthma and just to get an inhaler, they say you must receive a chip? It's either you can lay your hands on the child and that asthma be healed, or I tell you the truth, if you are a mother, you cannot see your child die. So a lot of people will come and say, forget, these things are theories. But the day their eyes will open, it will be difficult to recover them. Because even their soul structure would have been mutilated. The kind of Christianity we are sharing is because of where we are going to. It's not business as usual. Very soon, people will survive based on what they believe. Because you will even have money, you will not have anything to buy. Because buying and selling will be dependent on what identity you have. And your identity will be dependent on what is planted on you. In Ghana today, almost all the young politicians have joined Freemason. Because it's by occult that you rise. People still think it's a joke. You can't organize any ceremony until you have a license of approval. And before you have that license, you must have a chip on your body. They will tell you they are digitalizing the world, but you're actually being sold out. So we live, you know, when we talk now, some gullible people will stand up and tell you, nowadays everything is mystery. Everything is mystery. That's how the world was created. Nothing is as it seems. So don't allow gullible people who don't know what God is saying make you feel Christianity can be simple or Christianity is mental. You argue it apologetically. So we live in the world of sleep. We don't know that we are in a warfare. In the evening, we are talking about warfare. That's why it's a power session. Sleep can rob you of your destiny. There is a grace. See, we need grace for everything. The world we are stepping into now, even to go out of your house, you will need grace because of the level of wickedness. Somebody just stands up, stand on the street, and begin to shoot sporadically. Why? He doesn't know. Spirits taking over everywhere. You go out to the market, and somebody just comes to the market and starts shooting. And when they want to arrest him, he shoots himself. It's not a world where you can joke. Father, you can stop playing now. Just be sensitive. Just be sensitive. I try as much as possible when I'm emphasizing this thing not to make it emotional. Because the power is not in the impartation necessarily, it's in the practice. There are 24 of you here this morning. Please stop praying. Just stay calm. Hear me in your spirit. Hear me in your spirit. There are 24 of you here this morning that God will raise as a token of this conference to walk in dominion. Not in church. Just in church alone. Government, academia, media, economy. There will be so much power and ease to walk in dominion. So much ease. Things will happen to you by their own accord. There's a power that comes upon you that even the gate of the city opens to you. That grace is about to rest on you. Just stay calm and refuse to be distracted. Father, now, ushers, when God touches these people, bring them here.
I want to touch them. Because it's a heritage in the spirit. Father, from the left to the right, from the front to the back, 24 living witnesses of dominion, let your hand come upon them now. 24. Just stay calm. Stay calm. You know, these things I'm telling you, it's not an emotional thing. Some of us now, the reason we travel the way we travel is because there is dominion in this part of reality. When it comes to you, it's your results that will change. Let the anointing find those 12 people. You were ordained for this. This is why you came. It's your ordination. I just came to call you. Please help them so they are not injured. Help them. I just came to summon you. It's your ordination. If I were you, I will not be a spectator. You know, some of you think you know how these things work. But you are in one location. You are going nowhere. It's not mental knowledge. It's a spiritual reality. Touch! Oja du dabu weno o imini e apata ki biti e ena du dabu weno oja du dabu weno o imini e apata ki biti e ena du dabu weno Ojo do dabo eno ohimini apata kibiti ene do dabo eno ojo do dabo eno ohimini apata kibiti help them so they are not injured udu bogagu ene dabo o ene do dabo eno ojo do dabo eno o imini apata kebeti ene do dabo eno ojo do dabo eno ma Ilia Kamana Ravakade. Hear me. There are some of you God is about to touch. You know so much. In the spirit, it's not about what you know. The proof that you know is not head knowledge.
is the things that happen around you. If you can't command the results, it means you don't know it. There's an impartation meant for you. It's because of mercy that I want to make this decree now. There are three kinds of angels that work with me. One of them are angels of revival. They are the burning ones. There's about to be an impartation of the spirit of revival. Some of them will start running. They will literally start running from where they are because of the fire that will come upon them. Father, from the left to the right, from the front to the back, every lukewarm person here and every altar that has gone off, now touch. Touch. Ushers, catch them. They will start running. Not by power, not by might, by the spirit of the living God. Touch. Hallelujah.
Mighty wind, spirit of victory, cover us with your wing. Blow, 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 blow like a mighty wind, spirit of victory, cover us with your wing.
Blow, blow, blow like a mighty wind.
There is a victory.
Cover
us with your wings.
Cover
us with your wings.
Cover us with your wings.
Spirit of victory,
spirit of victory,
cover us with your
wings.
Ah, hey, hey, hey,
is ministering to people. Please just stay focused, stay sensitive, don't distract yourself. I just came with you, came to share basic principles and then allow God to do his work. Addictions are about to break. Some of you have been in masturbation. Some of you immorality. Some of you is even weakness of the body. You can't pray. Powers that have kept men captive are about to break. I stretch hands over you. I command every power
exercising dominion over you. Break! Break! Break!
In the name of Jesus.
Just play the keyboard for me. The rest can stop.
Please stretch your hands towards me. It's a morning service. Those of you here, don't worry. Brothers, just go and help them. Go and help them bring those God is touching. Just go, don't worry. Don't worry, don't worry. Just go. Go and help them. I want to round up. Of Jesus. In the evening, we will exercise dominion over your bodies and over your circumstances. But now God is dealing with your soul structure. Addictions, appetites that are alien to God are breaking up people. Those of them running, help them so they don't run into something. Chanting the Holy Ghost. We chanting the Holy Ghost. We chanting the Holy Ghost.
We're chanting the Holy Ghost. We're chanting the Holy Ghost. We're chanting the Holy Ghost. We're chanting the Holy Ghost. Chanting the Holy Ghost. In the Holy Ghost. We chant in the Holy Ghost. We chant in the Holy Ghost. We chant in the Holy Ghost. Hear me. Hear me. I was ministering 4 days ago, and the Lord told me He was activating ancient mantles. And when I said it, somebody was watching in the US. While I uttered it, Elisha entered her room. What we do is not a show. They are realities. Somebody is being clothed with a warrior's garment. You said dominion. Dominion is beyond the teaching. It's an experience of life. Somebody is being clothed with a warrior garment. As I speak right now, that dimension of the spirit of might, it mantles you. Pharaoh, Sephiana, Maranda Kada, warriors of the spirit, I call you forth. Warriors, Barone, Marak, Tata Akadane, Shaverina, Apantagava, fire. Kadosh, Kadosh, you are mighty on your throne. Kadosh, Kadosh, you are mighty on your throne. Berekayanda, Fazuze, Amende Lenaya. I bring you into this order. Warriors,
you are my king.
Break forth, O fountains of the deep, cry out, Kadosh, you are mighty on your throne. Break forth, O fountains of the deep, cry out, Kadosh,
you are mighty on your throne.
Those of you there, lift your hands toward heaven. Listen,
What we are doing is spiritual equipping. Moses had a staff. David had a sling. Everybody comes with something. There are three of you here that God is equipping you. And one of you, I can see a trumpet in the spirit. Touch! Ushers, get them quickly. Touch!
You are mighty on your throne.
Break forth, O fountains of the deep. Cry out, God.
You are mighty on your throne.
Break forth, O fountains of the deep. Cry out,
God. You are mighty on your throne.
Elohim Adonai.
Oh,
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 the Lord is ministering to people at random. Please, don't be a spectator. Stay connected. Stay connected.
Elohim Adonai.
Elohim.
I'll be praying for the sick in the evening. And I'll be praying for breakthroughs. If you know anybody who is sick, tell them to come. If your family members are sick, recharge your phones. Many will be healed. Dominion is not story. It's manifestation. It's not story. It's not how well you can teach it. It's not how sweet you can preach it. It's manifestation. Most of you who are on the floor, and some of you who didn't even fall, you will go back and discover that those addictions have died. Those appetites have been removed from you. It's a re-engineering of your molecular structure.
When you are there.
Thank you, Jesus. Just lift your hands toward heaven and breathe this atmosphere. Some of you that have blood diseases, organ infection, just breathe this atmosphere. Those afflictions are dying. After this meeting, you do a test. You will be shocked of the results. Just breathe it in.
You were blessed by the message you just listened to and wish to make Jesus your Lord and personal Savior. Kindly repeat this prayer after me. Dear Heavenly Father, I believe in your Son, Jesus Christ, and that He died for my sins and was raised from the dead for my justification. I therefore confess with my mouth that Jesus is the Lord of my life. I receive eternal life into my spirit. I am born again. Thank you, Father, in Jesus' name. If you just say this prayer, please send us an email on amoddiscipleship@gmail.com or reach us on our website, orocomichael.com, to enable us to reach you and afford us the privilege to disciple you. God bless you.